Can we rejoice in that last phrase? For Jesus hath risen, and man shall not die. And we, as believers, we understand that that is speaking of a spiritual death, or our soul lives on in eternity. Because of Jesus, we need not to suffer that spiritual death. We were witnesses again this week that the body does die. The body returns to the dust from which it was taken, but our soul lives on because Jesus has risen. We have been richly fed this morning already. I guess I just want to say, William, that I agree with what you were inspired with. I think it's scriptural. The Sunday school lesson supports the thought that we sacrifice Jesus. We weren't there physically, of course not, but it was for our sins that he did that. And like Truman then shared, if we take that personally, we were responsible for his crucifixion, his need to be that perfect sacrifice. And so I guess I find it like so many of the things of God, it is I want to say compounded. We sacrificed Jesus, but at the same time, God planned it so. God gave him, and I guess you did mention that, God gave him to be that sacrifice. It is amazing how that God provides for his own. He delights in seeing his children flourish, coming to Christ and being freed through that sacrifice. I am convinced that God delights in that, and that's the way he wants it to be. And we find that with our entire being, we want to be free in both the physical and the spiritual sense. We want to be free from pain, free from debt, free from sin, chaos, or worry. We want to be free of those things. We want to live in peace. We just want to be unburdened. And we've learned this morning that have been reminded this morning. I think we knew it before, but we were again reminded, and that's good. That that we are offered that freedom through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, how do we attain that freedom? First of all, believing. But then there is also a continuation and what I have prepared is, I'm just amazed again, because it just, what I have prepared continues from this point, you know. We are freed by that sacrifice, but life continues, and we need to maintain that believing, that doing the work of faith, I guess you might say. And so what I'm about to share is a thing of unburdening, or it started with the thought of casting our cares upon Him. So I just have numerous scriptures, and just want to share that. But the main theme is that of casting away that which hinders us, which bogs us down, and then being committed to that life, commending our soul to Him, and trusting Him in caring for us. So the first scripture I have here is found in Psalms 55, verse 22. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." So if we take a look at the setting of this and when that was said, and all the theme of this chapter, expressing a deep dismay over the treachery of a close friend. Okay, when friends hurt us, the burden is too difficult to carry alone. Okay, so what do we do when that happens? So if we start reading in verse 12, I guess this is David. I'm not sure. Yes. Verse 12 of Isaiah, or Psalms 55. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." That verse, it's a little bit confusing because of the pronouns used, but I think what it is saying is that David was betrayed by a close friend, and his feelings came out here in verse 15. Against people who act treacherously like that. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them. Even he that abideth of old, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. this, I think, is again speaking of you know, it's not an enemy that hurt David, but a friend, a man that he was at peace with, turned around and betrayed him, hurt him in some way. He broke the bond with his friend. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Okay, that was this where he found himself. Then he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. So, not that we anticipate or hope that this would happen to any of us, but we are surrounded by man, and man fails us. So the answer to being offended or hurt or betrayed or whatever it might be by a close friend remains, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Can we believe that? No. Believing it is key. Because if we don't believe it, we won't experience it either. In Matthew 11, a very familiar scripture, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. this is not so much casting our burden away, but let's back up a little bit. Starting in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, if we think of a yoke, the yoke makes it possible, is a tool, a device with which a load is shared. And so if we imagine or visualize or consider that we are bearing a burden, we labor and are heavy laden, because of a burden that we're bearing. Jesus comes along and offers us to take up his yoke. The message I get from this is that he offers us to help us bear that load. And there are situations where, you know, the problem, the burden does not necessarily disappear. Sickness comes to mind. You know, we bear the burden, but Christ comes in and offers his yoke to help us bear that burden. The sickness remains, but the aspect changes. The burden becomes lighter. He promises us here that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So if you can imagine, he takes the heavy part of the load, and the load becomes light to us. Not exactly a casting away, but yet it is a handing over our burden to Christ and being blessed and relieved. Okay, 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. It's just, I don't know, I have long maintained the thought that verse 6 is, a most important verse in the Bible. I refrain from saying the most important, but according to my understanding, I just don't know that we can circumvent the need for humbling ourselves if we expect to receive God's blessings. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In Sunday school or devotions, maybe it was, Christ was lowered to the lowest degree, but then also exalted to the highest degree. And humbling ourselves speaks of being lowered, and then in our humility, God will raise us up. But then, following that, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I find it interesting that the humbling of ourselves and the casting our cares upon him are actually in the same statement. It does take a humbling to just hand over everything to God and to trust him and to rest in that. And so if we think of casting our cares upon him, this is not, I mean, so if we think of casting, I know there's some in here that enjoy fishing and have learned the art of casting that lure into the pond and in hopes of catching a fish. But that's not the type of casting we're speaking of. You know, we don't want to cast our cares upon Jesus and then reel it back in and take it upon us ourselves. Although, you know, at times we do that in a certain sense. But the casting away is more like throwing a rock into the pond where it sinks to the bottom and there's no retrieving it. It's gone. We hand it over to Christ. We rest in the fact that care is gone. It's taken care of. And in thinking about that, the scripture, cast thy bread upon the waters, came to mind. If we visualize casting a slice of bread out into the pond, what do we think would happen? You know, it would probably disintegrate and disappear. I'm not sure exactly how it would happen. I believe I've seen breadcrumbs floating on water, but as far as it being bread, it would be pretty much gone. Okay. That type of casting away, or that visual is the type of casting away we're interested in. That particular verse goes on to say, for thou shalt find it after many days. And I think in a spiritual sense, we cast away our burdens, our cares. We cast it off. And after many days, we receive, and sometimes it's not many days, but we are blessed in having done that. Maybe it will be many days. We don't know, but we do believe and are convinced that as we dedicate our life and as we live for Christ, we will be rewarded in heaven. We do not doubt that truth. Okay, so we cast our burdens to him who bears them for us. And so what does Scripture say concerning Christ bearing that which we cast away? And we had, we read this morning in our Sunday school lesson, Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6 is what I have here. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Okay, if we slow down and add a little bit of emphasis, I think it brings out the depth of this. So I'd like to back up to verse 3 and read 3 and 4 once more. Okay, he being Christ, Jesus Christ, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, and I take that as an expression similar to without a doubt, okay? Without a doubt, he hath borne our griefs, okay? He was rejected, he was despised, yet he hath borne our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And it's with his stripes that we are healed. So, it is Christ that bears the burdens which we cast upon him. And, you know, it almost seems not fair that, like was stated earlier, that we crucified this perfect sacrifice that was handed to us, and now we cast our burdens on him. But I do believe that is what God intends for us to do. I think it is a light thing for God to take those burdens and dispose of them. I don't think that our burdens, our heartaches, and all of that, I don't think that burdens Jesus Christ if we cast it to him. What he wants is for us to believe in him and to respond and let him be our Lord and Master, our Savior. Okay, so if we look at 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins First Peter 2, starting in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Basically a repeat of the message in Isaiah, but just another scripture where we see that Christ bears that which we cast away. And now, if we turn to Galatians, Galatians 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So, now we are called to also bear burdens that have been cast away. It doesn't say that exactly, but it says, bear ye one another's burdens. And that requires a sharing with each other, a confessing, admitting to the burden we have, and sharing it with one another. And in that sense, casting it away. And we are called to bear each other up in that. It is in that way that we show the love of God one to another. Okay, if we turn to Luke 23, verse 46. Well, starting in 44, it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. This is the time of crucifixion. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having thus said, he gave up the ghost. So, the thing of just commending all our life, everything, into God's hands. And resting in that, Jesus was the perfect example of that. In the garden already, he surrendered. He committed everything to God. To his father, but here, right at his death, he again commended even his spirit to God, and then died. The ultimate sacrifice there was done in making that surrender, casting away any attachment to life. We too are tested in how willing we are to make that surrender, to lay it all at Jesus' feet. Whatever term we want to use there. Can we do that in faith? Like was mentioned before, that we can first believe and then suit our works to that belief. casting away our earthly longings and the earthly ties that we have, and commend all of that to our Heavenly Father. In Acts 20, verse 32, we find, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." I just thought that is a very beautiful closure, maybe. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And that inheritance is I take it as the privilege, the blessing of being in heaven in the presence of God. The thing of commending each other to God what can be a more beautiful way of relating to one another in the brotherhood than just that? We believe, we trust that that God works in each one of our lives, and we're not all at the same place in our spiritual life, but and maybe we don't exactly agree, but we can commend one another to God and let God work in our lives and just know that he loves us, he cares for us, and he will guide us into that inheritance. So this is basically all I have. I would just like to close, I guess, with asking ourselves these three questions. Can we cast away our prejudices, our pride, our ego? Can we bear each other up in our weaknesses? Can we commend one another to God and allow him to build us up? I trust that we all desire that, and I just pray that God would bless us all in doing that, in commending one another into his love, into his care, and then trusting him with that. You know, we need to, like has been said, we need to let go and let God. We need to let God truly work in our lives. So at this time, I will open for testimony or any corrections, comments you would have.